For those of you who haven't seen me periodically over the last couple of years, Craig is a really good friend of mine from Bible school, and from time to time he's asked me to pitch in here, and it's always been a pleasure seeing some familiar faces. There's always some new faces when I come, but for those of you that, how many of you were here a month ago around Easter when I preached? I talked very highly of this famous artist, and I had one of her pieces of art with me. I actually brought the real deal. She's sitting back there. That's my wife. The real artist. There you go. It's a privilege for us to be here this morning. And the last few weeks have been really busy for me. And I did not get all my prep work in that I usually like. Usually when I preach, I don't preach every week. And so I usually have a couple months to sort of stew on a topic. And Lisa was, where's Lisa? She was hounding me for a title, and I was kind of flippantly saying, oh, she's calling my sermon surprise, that way I can preach on whatever I want. And so it was a little bit of a flippant answer, but before I sent it, I just had this little sense from the Holy Spirit that says, no, that's actually what I want you to speak on. And so it was interesting after I kind of chuckled about that and started to think about it, sort of this whole idea of surprise came to mind. And so I actually did send it off in good faith. It wasn't just to avoid giving you an answer. The passage that was read, just the crux of it, the center part there, verse 18 and 19 from Isaiah 43. Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? And this morning I want to unpack this idea of the surprises of life. Surprise is basically an unexpected or astonishing event and that we're not aware of. Have you ever had a big surprise in your life? I don't need a sermon from the audience or from the congregation, but a one-liner. Have you ever had a major surprise?
Yes.
Yes? What surprise?
This week we had many people in the area. We had fire.
Yep.
Evacuation.
Didn't have that planned in early May, did you? Anything else? What other surprises come our way?
Proposals after 7 weeks.
Did you read my sermon? I'll get to that later. Yeah, surprises. Go ahead.
I was just going to say a surprise party.
Yes. Does anybody here have a surprise party? I've never had a surprise party, and I don't want one, by the way. Surprises can be a positive thing. They can also be a challenging thing. Sometimes surprises are from the Lord, and sometimes they're not. And surprises, some people love surprises, some people hate surprises. My dream vacation involves packing for all weather, grabbing a set of dice and hopping in the car and seeing what happens. And whenever you get to a fork in the road, roll the dice, am I turning right or left? To me, that would be spectacular. Not knowing where I'm going to end up. Am I going to end up in Mexico, on the East Coast, West Coast, whatever? I'd run that by my sweetheart, and she's not super keen on that, so I might have to do it sometime by myself. One of my favorite surprises that I have given, a number of years back, we told our kids that we were going to take them to the Mall of America, and they were super excited. But the real surprise was that once we got to the Mall of America, at the Disney store, they have this little theater in the store there in Minneapolis, and we surprised our kids that actually we weren't going to the Mall of America. We were getting on a plane to go to Disney World. And it was really fun to catch. We have this little video of them. I think my daughter was maybe 4 years old at the time. And they get called to the front and they're confused. And why are we, we're in the Disney store, what's going on? And then they basically shoot us out of the store to catch our plane. Surprises can be really positive and they can also be very challenging. What about a surprise of getting laid off? That's not something that we plan for or think about. It presents major challenges. And What about an illness diagnosis? You don't necessarily plan for that. It's like a surprise, but it's not like the happy kind of surprise. And this morning I want to unpack, what do we as individuals and what do we as the church, how do we respond to the surprises that inevitably will come up in life? And for those of you that like an outline, I want to talk about three different things. One, surprises, whether good or bad or challenging or exciting, they present an opportunity for us to deepen our relationship with Jesus, how we respond to those challenges. Surprises always present the opportunity for us to pray. And number three, surprises present new opportunities that we never dreamed of or planned for, and they can shift the entire trajectory of our lives. And this morning I'm going to walk through a few examples from the scripture of each of these, but also share some testimony from my life, and then want to challenge us to be cognizant of that when we do face the surprises that will come up. The first thing, dependency on God. There's so many examples from the scripture, but the one that I was immediately drawn to was the Exodus story. And so we have the people of Israel, they've been in slavery for 400 odd years, and God, through a series of plagues, is providing judgment on the gods of Egypt and on the leadership of Egypt, and sort of getting ready for this exodus out of Egypt. And so they've gone through the 9 different plagues, and the surprise plague to me is that 10th one, because prior to that, the Israelites were kind of just standing back and observing. And obviously they kind of understood that, man, we're being spared from all this. But the 10th plague, where God says that he's going to strike down the firstborn of all the animals, all the firstborn, here he actually asks them to respond in something in a specific way. And the Bible doesn't tell us if anybody didn't obey that. We don't have that information. But it's an odd invitation from the Lord. Raise up a pure, spotless lamb, slaughter it, eat it in a very prescribed way, take some of the blood, smear it on the doorposts of their home, and they will be protected. It feels kind of out of the blue. It was an invitation to place themselves in a position of dependency. In order for their salvation, they needed to be covered by the blood. And as we have the benefit of hindsight, we have the benefit of history, we know how this act, this invitation at this surprising 10th plague, was a prophetic symbol of what we today are now. We receive that blessing of being covered by the blood of the pure spotless lamb. And just a month ago, we celebrated that at Easter. This whole post-Exodus, sometimes the Israelites get a bad rap for however many times they wandered away from the Lord. But as one, the Israelites, at the invitation of this surprise, they respond in a way that positions themselves in dependence. And it's one of their first big steps to becoming the people of God. And that same thing for us today. There are things that pop up as a body of Christ, when those challenges, a forest fire, for example, has the opportunity to draw us together and to become dependent on the Lord for his provision, for his protection, for his direction. You know, how do we as a church reach out? There's opportunities in this tragedy to reach out and to sort of humble ourselves and just again, once again, recognize that, God, we need you. We're dependent on you. And for those of you that are displaced right now, that's a horrible situation, but may you be drawn into deep dependency on the Lord Jesus in this time. An example from my own life, a surprise. In 2008, I quit my job at a bank. I sold my home because God was calling us to serve in Turkey. And about halfway through our missionary training, we got hit by a train, in a sense, and we were told, you're actually not going to Turkey. We're not sending you out. And it was a surprise, a difficult, difficult surprise in my life. And in that moment, faced with this news that kind of came out from left field, I had the opportunity to either walk towards my Jesus and say, God, I don't understand. I'm hurt. This is difficult. Or I could have said, fine, I'm done with this. I'm not spending my life loving and serving Muslims. Why would I bother? And that surprise in my life, God used to deepen my dependency on him. It was one of the most difficult experiences of my life, but God didn't waste it. And I don't necessarily view him as the source of that. There were some challenges around that, but that surprise in my life, when I look back, it softened my heart. It made me realize who's in charge. It made me not look to man. It made me look to the Lord as my provider, the one who leads me. And it actually laid a foundation for entering into the hurts of other people, because I had been so hurt, and God met me there. Secondly, surprises can present and ought to present and elicit the response of prayer. The Bible talks about, you know, rejoice with those who are rejoicing, mourn with those who are mourning. So surprises can be, we can enter into prayer with thanksgiving and gratitude, and yet we can also pray for those who are struggling and hurting. And in the book of Jonah is an example for me where surprises lead people into a sense of prayer. And it's interesting, the characters that God uses in the book of Jonah. There's three: the sailors, Jonah, and the Ninevites. And so the sailors, when we read, it's a fast-paced story that we read about in the book of Jonah. And, you know, Jonah's fleeing from God. He ends up on this boat, and already in verse 5 in this story, they realize something is wrong. These are seasoned sailors, and there's this weird storm that came out of nowhere. And what happens? It says in verse 5, all the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. They're immediately drawn to prayer. And these aren't God, these aren't Yahweh-following sailors that we're aware of. And then later on, when Jonah tells them that, you know what, I'm running away from my God, the sailors now, then they address the Lord, and they say, they cried out to the Lord, oh Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. And they chuck him overboard. Second phase, I don't know if there's anything more surprising than a fish swallowing you up and not digesting you, but from the belly of the fish, this surprising circumstance, difficult, stinky, smelly, probably scary environment, we have this beautiful prayer from the belly of the fish that we have in our scriptures. And Jonah writes, in my distress, I called to the Lord and he answered me. When we face challenging surprises in our life, church, may we respond in the same way. In my distress, I called to the Lord and he answered me. Then later on it says, when my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. And I'm not, theologically, I'm not, can God cause bad things in our lives? Absolutely he can. But I don't always view God as the source of the troubles that we come under. And in this case, I think one of the most beautiful things is that God doesn't waste the difficult surprises in our life. There's always an invitation to turn towards him, to enter into communication with the living God who hears and speaks to us. And the third group in this story, so Jonah arrives in the city of Nineveh. These are his mortal enemies. He's preaching, he's loving it, preaching judgment, you know, and so on so long, the city's going to be destroyed and all its inhabitants. And wouldn't you know, they turn. And this is a pagan king of one of the most brutal brutal civilizations ever known, when they hear this message of repentance in the last or in the middle part of Jonah, it says, by the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let any man or beast, herd or flock taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. Can you imagine what this world would be like if not even just the churches, but if we as a people let everyone call urgently on God with fervor? Because God is not a deaf God. He hears from his throne and he answers. And so, church, may we respond, may prayer be the first response to the challenging things that come up in our lives. A personal example. When Shannon Neufeld pops up in your Facebook feed and Facebook suggests that you should be friends, I'm not a Facebook person, wasn't a Facebook person, but that's my story. And when I saw the smile on her face and I saw all the people that we were connected to, you know, there were some missionaries, there were some pastor people, there was one of my cousins that went to a school of discipleship with her. This surprise, her face that popped up on my computer, drew me into a deep time of prayer for God. Might this be the one that you have planned for me? And in this case, it was a very wonderful surprise that God provided a godly, spirit-filled woman to walk the journey of life with me. But it that whole journey, it started with seeds of prayer. And I reached out to some people and I said, hey, can you pray for me? I don't know if this is just an infatuation or what's going on, but can you pray for me? Can you give me any insight? You know, do you have any red flags? Do you know this person? And I bathed the whole process in prayer. And it gave me confidence to move forward. And I think I mentioned this last time, and I showed Shannon on the way up to the Tim Hortons in Beauséjour is where I first reached out to her. So it's kind of a special place for us. But that whole journey was bathed in prayer. And if I had just charged ahead, I probably wouldn't have been obedient to the Lord. I needed to stop, pause, bathe it in prayer, and move forward. The third example of how our response to the surprises of life, how it can impact us and change ultimately the entire trajectory of our lives, is an example of that is look at the Apostle Paul. In the book of Acts, we have just a little snippet here in the first verse of chapter 8. And this is as they're just finishing murdering Stephen, the first martyr. It says, and Saul was there giving approval to his death. So this zealous, zealous Jewish man, Roman citizen, thinks that he's doing the will of God by murdering this man. Skips one chapter, he goes through some other things, and then at the beginning of chapter 9, it says, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Here, Saul has the biggest surprise of his life. Thinks he's doing God's will, and literally has a complete 180. Goes from being persecutor to eventually being persecuted. And this is none of Saul's doing. sometimes the Lord breaks in and just says, you know what? I don't want you going in that direction. I actually have this direction in store for you. And the surprises in life often lead to a shift for us. That could be a different job. It could be a different community to move to. It could be a different ministry. It could be a different relationship or a new relationship. And God uses those kind of surprises sometimes in our lives to sort of shock us awake and to move us in the path that he wants. Part of my story of being called to Turkey actually has its roots in a brutal murder of three workers at a Bible publishing ministry in the city of Malatya in Turkey. On April 18th, 2007, three brothers in Christ were interrogated and then tortured and eventually murdered by some Turkish nationalists. And this happened in the city of Malatya. If you have ever eaten dried apricots, you've probably eaten apricots from this city. It's the capital, the world capital of apricot production. It's in the hills. It's this obscure little city that's kind of in the backwaters of Turkey. And on that day in 2007, most mission organizations pulled their people out and left. And it left this void. And there was a group of people from a number of different organizations at that time that actually felt, you know what, we have to press in. And instead of fleeing, we have to go. And the leader of the mission that we were with was one of the people that had heard about this. And we weren't part of that original team, but that was sort of one of the catalysts for us to step into ministry in Turkey. And this team that was serving, they were I'll call them a misfit of missionaries from all different walks of life, different organizations. They had never been sent as a team, but they were responding in this situation to this surprise, this horrific surprise, to press into a very difficult and dark area. And as they gathered, I had the opportunity to meet with one of the widows who was left behind. And she shared this testimony of, you know what, there was, for a moment in time, there was actually a bit of extra honor to this team because a lot of the local people were ashamed at what happened. But the church plant that they were working at, it didn't seem to be going anywhere. And one of the beautiful things that happened amidst and post-tragedy was that God sent a deaf man to join this small group. He was a Muslim background person, and I don't know how it happened. They don't even know how it happened, but they started communicating in their broken written Turkish, and they started sharing the gospel with pen and paper. And wouldn't you know, this deaf Turkish man in this city where blood was shed gave his life to Christ, and it turns out that this deaf guy was an incredible evangelist. And soon, this little group, there's just a few couples that were gathering, and a few people from all over the world, they started being inundated with the entire deaf community of this city. And, you know, they came there, they had theological training, they had missiological training, but nobody prepared them for the fact that they're going to have that they were all going to go need to learn sign language. And so this team took this weird surprise. They all started learning sign language, and this became a core part of their church. Like, who could plan that kind of stuff? You don't go into ministry thinking, I'm gonna position myself, even though I don't speak sign language, and I'm gonna lead this deaf man to the Lord, and that's gonna be our ministry proposal. No, but they were open and willing to be shifted with this weird surprise that popped up. And people got saved as a result of it. And so, church, this morning, each of us have things that we're dealing with, exciting things maybe there's some challenging things. My encouragement to you this morning is to stop and to reflect and to say, Lord, how am I to respond in this? How can this situation lead me to a deeper dependency on you, God? Are there steps that I need to take towards you? May it draw us both in our individual lives and as a church body, onto our knees in prayer, because the Lord speaks and He directs. And he gives vision to His church, because His church is His representation here on earth of Him. And if there are shifts and directions and new opportunities that we need to uncover and explore, may we take the opportunities that surprises, both difficult and positive, present to us. Because God, that's God's business. He uses surprising things like a virgin birth, a humble king, a servant leader, God dying on a cross to save us. He uses very surprising things historically, and He's the same God today, and He's doing it today here in Seven Sisters. Can I pray for you? Lord Jesus, thank You for this body that is here. And Lord Jesus, we just want to acknowledge all the things, the hardships and the exciting things that are in each one of our lives here, Lord Jesus. I pray, Father, that we would be able to take pause and to see, where are You, God, in these circumstances? And would You give us direction and the courage to respond in the way that would honor You? And like the passage that we read this morning, Lord, from Isaiah, that Your name would be proclaimed among the nations, Lord Jesus. Bless this church and each one here. And yes, I echo the prayer earlier, Lord. Please send the rain. In Jesus' name.
Before we sing, if anybody is willing and able, could you please stay after and help Helen and the committee set up tables for the Ladies' Salad Supper, because it's coming soon. Okay, please rise. We'll sing closing song.
I was asked. asked to close the service, and as I was standing there and we were singing, I just had my Bible open to Isaiah 43, and I was actually drawn to Isaiah 44. And I'd like to close with the words there as a blessing for this church.